Jesus makes an incredible claim when he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. This is very, very offensive in today's society. And many people have a huge problem with that, because with this, Jesus is saying, you can only go to the Father through me. Full stop, that's it. Wow, this is very, very radical. And then he goes even further, making a bigger claim in verse 9, which we haven't read. He who has seen me has seen the Father. With this claim, he's either the biggest liar on earth or the most proud human being there was, or abnormal, or actually God. Now, the implication was that anyone who had seen Jesus had seen God. And on many occasions, Jesus says things that only God can actually say. He forgives sins and he speaks with authority. But the amazing thing was, he backed it up by the deeds. Praise God. Basically, the implication is that Jesus is God with a human face. That is just mind-blowing when you think, Jesus, God came here to this world. And he walked with his feet, you know, physical here on this planet like you and me. And he came from heaven. Now, where do you and I come from? The day we gave our lives to Jesus, our origin changed. Our home is up there now. We come from there and we belong to heaven. Some say heaven is a state or a condition. You're wrong. Your home is not a state or a condition. Well, it might be a state. But Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. But where is it? Where is that place? Heaven is above. Heaven is upward. We read in Genesis 17, after God finished his conversation with Abraham, we read, God went up from Abraham. Then in John 3, where Jesus had the conversation with Nicodemus, Jesus told him that he came down from heaven. And then we read in Acts 1, we read that when the disciples saw Jesus going into heaven, so he went upward, not downward. The word paradise appears 3 times in the New Testament, and it means park or a place of future happiness. And Jesus said to him, assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Luke 23. Today you will be with me in paradise. Wow. The next one. And I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body. I don't know. God knows how he was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. And then we know from verse 2 that paradise is in the third heaven. And then Revelation 2, to him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. You see, remember, the same tree was in the Garden of Eden, and it is now in paradise. Now, some people, they try to find out how far away is heaven. There's one thing we need to know. Heaven is so close in one way that when we whisper, God hears it. Isn't that amazing? Because I want you to come away from that mindset of heaven is somewhere outer space. No, it is so close. And when we go through life with that closeness to heaven, I tell you, things look different. Every problem hits your nose, looks different in the light of heaven, because it's not just far away somewhere. It's right there. You are on God's hand. It is amazing. Things can just change straight away. There was one occasion in Switzerland I will never forget. I have seen beautiful, many, many beautiful sunsets. But that one was beyond anything I have seen before in my entire life. I looked out of the window. By the way, that was a very, very heavy, heavy year for me when that happened. Huge, big problems I had at that stage. And I saw that sunset. It was, I mean, Switzerland is pictures already as it is. But that was just the top of everything. It was so glorious. The bright colors. It was like a fantastic picture book. And I looked out of the window and I could see all so many windows were open. Everybody was looking out, staring at the sunset. And you know what was absolutely dramatic? On my left side, the sunset, the golden colors, reddish, everything. And on my right side, it was dark. Nearly a thunderstorm went on. And in the middle here was the Lake of Zurich. And there was a boat, a ship, on in the middle of the lake. And I think I even heard the music. They were dancing. They had a great time. I think they totally missed out of the gates of heaven. It was a dramatic atmosphere. Here, the darkness, the clouds, the thunders and lightnings. And here, that glorious sunset. You cannot imagine how I longed to go to heaven in that moment. I was drawn so strongly to that place. I was just gazing to that place. And whenever I think of it, that wonderful evening, I wish you were there. And if you believed in heaven or not, you would want to go there. It was beautiful. In that moment, all my burdens, all my sorrows, all my huge problems just left me. I was just caught up with heaven. I mean, that is amazing. That is so good. If you can catch up with heaven, this is a good experience, I tell you. And here we read in Colossians 3:2, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. This is easily read. But this can become so powerful when we do it. You may hate the problem here on earth, but if you set your mind on above, you are the conqueror. You are the victor. You can see things differently if you're in touch with above. And this is what we want more and more. The things here on this world become so insignificant in the light of heaven. Do you know what heaven makes heaven? It won't be the pearly gates. It won't be the jasper walls. It won't even be the transparent golden streets of heaven. No. These would not satisfy us for eternity. I'll tell you a story. There was a child whose mom was sick. The mom became so bad that she actually died. And the child, in the process, it was taken away and it was looked after by the neighbor. And the neighbors thought, we are not going to say anything to the child until the funeral and everything is over. After that, the child went back into the house and she went into the kitchen, mom! She went into the lounge, mom! She went into the bathroom, mom! There was no mom! She went to every single room! After the girl discovered mom is not here, she wanted to go back to the neighbors. Why? Home has lost its attraction. Mom wasn't there anymore. And this is so important. No, it's not the jasper walls. It's not the pearly gates. It's not all this beauty we will see one day. No, it's being with God. God fills the heaven. God is the source of joy. I can't wait to see him. We all can't wait. I mean, the first question is, where is Jesus? The one who paid for my sin that I'm here. Where is he? Wow, that will be so amazing. Heaven will be free from all the curses. No sin, no sorrow, no poverty, no sickness, no pain, no want. Bad news for the women, no shops, praise God. No headaches, no war, no death. You will never, ever need to say again, goodbye. The word goodbye is totally erased from the vocabulary in heaven. Praise God. You will never see anymore. Again, the coffin being closed in front of you and shedding tears. No, free of curse. It will be beautiful. It will be so exciting to be up there forever and ever. If we only are much more homesick for heaven. But what are we doing up there? A heaven where we didn't do anything but sit by the side of the crystal sea and the pearly streams and gaze forever into the eternal beauties. That would be too boring for me. It would be too senseless in one sense. But that would do maybe for an old monk or so. But you know, when we are really there, that wouldn't satisfy us for eternity. Heaven is a place of intellectual activity. You know, Sir Isaac Newton, with his profound mind, has gone down to the very bottom of the unexplored ocean, and he has explored a lot, and people are still exploring. And you know what? 90% of the ocean is still unexplored. Albert Einstein, the great physicist, has explored in physics and in the universe a lot of things, and there are still millions of unanswered questions. And there are things we can learn. It's endless. We can learn so, so much more. Heaven is a place of never-tiring thoughts. No stagnation there. And don't worry, if you have got a poor mind down here, you will have an excellent mind up there. Then heaven is a place of social activity. There you will be able to speak and chat to so many people. That's fantastic news for the women. You can talk and talk all day long. In fact, there's not even a day. You can talk forever. And you can see people, and it will be so good. And you can ask questions. And when I'm up there, it will be so interesting to look back and talking things over with Dawn. What did we do there? How did that look there, that situation? And you can look and things make more sense. And it will be so good. I will look for my mom, where she is. And I can just imagine she will be just so excited. Like, you know, she was one of these kind of people who just get excited. And that will be just so good. And you can meet people and ask questions. For example, you will be able to meet Paul, Apostle Paul, Peter, King David, and people like that. I mean, that is just so good. I will ask Balak if he find it strange when the donkey suddenly talked back to him. And it will be good. Then heaven is a musical place. King David hasn't hung up his harp there. There will be plenty of instruments, up there and we will sing and praise to God. It will be fantastic. Even I will join the choir there. And because, you know, all the preachers, they will be redundant. There is no need for preachers. But sing, if you're good at singing, praise God. You just continue. You know, it's just good. If you get saved tonight, you can literally be promoted from the mire to the choir. That's a good promotion. If you come to Jesus tonight and you say, I want this. I want to walk towards heaven. I want to get there. Somebody asked me, will we recognize each other in heaven? The answer is 100%. Yes, we will. The Bible describes death as a sleep. Well, you recognize somebody before you fall asleep and after you wake up. But not only that. Did you know that you even recognize people whom you have never seen before? How do you know that? Well, remember the passage in Matthew 17 where Jesus took Peter, James, and John up the mountain? And suddenly, who stood there? Moses and Elijah. And they recognized them. They have never seen them before, and yet they knew it was Moses and Elijah. And not only that, but you may remember also the story with the Lazarus and the rich man. The rich man recognized Abraham, even though he was in Hades. And yet he recognized Abraham. So how much more we will recognize each other and others who are saved in heaven? So many people run after money all their life long, or idols, or own dreams. They are concerned for a house here. It's all good. It's not wrong. But it's only wrong when it gets out of perspective. But they don't have a mansion up there. And that's not good. You need to make sure you have got a mansion up there. You can have the biggest mansion down here. What is it if you have it only for 80 years and you miss out for an eternal mansion? That's no good, is it? You know, sometimes you're too short-sighted because the daily life is busy. We have burdens, we have got struggles, and then we get short-sighted. And then you can't see. But we need to have glasses for eternity that we can see things in the eternal perspective. Nowadays, you can insure everything. You can insure your car. You can insure your teeth. Did you know that? Teeth, yeah. You can insure everything you like, really. I received an email not that long ago and said this. David, if you were born between 1947 and 1982 with no funeral insurance, funeral costs are set to rise by 53%, apparently, and will cost over £12,000 for the most basic services. Nowadays, you have all these earthly-minded insurance, but nobody thinks of making the insurance for the eternal home in heaven. People think about the funeral. I mean, who cares? I mean, after I'm not here anymore, who cares? It's just a total wrong perspective. Nobody insures what happens after the funeral. This is the thing we need to concentrate on, not on the funeral. I mean, fancy thinking about your funeral all your life long. What a sad life. We need to get the right perspective. If I could call my mom on my mobile phone right now, who is already in heaven, that would be an interesting conversation. And I would say, how is it up there? She would say, it is absolutely wonderful. It is so good. It is, I don't know. It will be, it's just, I can just imagine her, you know. I knew my mom very well. Sometimes I could read her thoughts because we knew each other. And then she would say, preach the gospel to everyone and tell them about heaven. And I would say, yes, I'm doing it, and I will not cease. She was an evangelist. She was, wherever she was that kind of person. No, she did not care. Fear of man? No, no, that was not she, not her. She could go anywhere and open her mouth. And it was absolutely amazing. She was extraordinary. Even on her deathbed, she was more concerned for the nurses than for herself because she knew where she was going. She was that kind of person. Now I want to look at a very important book in heaven. And it's not the Lamb's book where all the names are written of those who are saved. It's a book which was written before God created the world. And it's found in Psalm 139, verse 16, which says, "Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. And in your book, they all were written, the days fashioned for me when as yet were none of them." Before you were made, God has put a destiny into your life. He has written out every day of your life and what are you going to be and what are you going to do in your life. Your days here on earth are extremely important, even though you may not feel it like that sometimes. Your days, every day, is extremely important in your life. The Bible says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad." Now, this judgment seat has nothing to do if you are going to heaven or to hell. No, because if you have accepted Jesus Christ, then you are going to heaven no matter what. That's not the judgment. You already have a free pass to heaven if you accepted Jesus, because he has paid for you. He is going to open that book he has written about your life and compare it if you have lived accordingly. Everything you have done in the flesh will be analyzed. Jesus will investigate your motives, why you have done things. He will investigate your works. If it passes, you will get your reward. And if not, you will miss out on the rewards. There won't be any more chances for the rest of eternity to change it. It all comes down to what we do here in the body. That is amazing. I mean, that is so amazing that that just feels like how important your life is. It is amazing. It is so important. And this time here on earth is just the greatest significance for you and my future. I've got good news for you. No matter how many years you've wasted in your life, you still can grow into your destiny. Many people, many men of God, many women of God actually only grew into their destiny when they were in their 50s and 60s. It's amazing. But this is the grace of God. It is the grace of God. Praise God for that. Now, who wants to say with me, no matter what is the cost, I want to grow into my destiny. No matter what difficulties are in my way, I am going for my purpose, destiny in God. No matter what friends and relatives say around me, I have decided, I've got one goal. This is it. I go for it. Who wants to join me in that? This is why we live. We cannot afford to waste our life and our minutes here. It's too important. Your life is too important to waste. Some people, young people say to me, some of them said to me, oh, well, you know, when I will be old, I will see what I can do with God. No! When you are old, you've wasted your life already. You can't get back. I tell you, I got saved when I was 15. The only thing I regret was that I didn't get saved earlier. We don't want to waste anything. We can't afford it. It's too important. You may have big dreams for your life you want to fulfill. It's good to have dreams. It's good. But sometimes God's dreams for your life are even better. Sometimes they are the same as yours because He puts it in your heart. Sometimes He says, wait. Sometimes He directs you in a total different direction. I told you this morning very briefly, my big dream when I was saved, after I was saved, I wanted to go to Africa as a missionary. And there was no way. And only now, 20 years later, God opens the way. That is amazing. If you do that, you will discover that you will be truly happy in the core of your heart. If you just give everything over to Him and say, I want to go into my destiny. God's way may seem impossible sometimes, but praise God. He can make ways where literally seems no way. He can do it. Do you want to grow into your destiny? This is the challenge tonight.